Brothers, as you can perceive from my intensity of my fellowship, how burdened I am about this matter. And I don't consider this just a lesson or a couple of lessons. I consider this actually, brothers, to be maybe the most critical thing right now for the Bay Area churches, both from a regional standpoint, and that is the churches. And the last point of this lesson 29 is the fellowship with the churches, but also in respective localities, large and small. This is the breakthrough. You remember this word. Just mark this word of mine. This is the breakthrough point. Since this big blending conference in Burlingame last month, we started the 100 Days Prayer, right? And I trust that is going on, and I have to believe it is. It is a great help to as far as preparing ourselves for the Lord's move in this area. But this morning, I would like to say that even if we have this 100-day prayer, even if we're earnest with that prayer, and it will bring forth the Lord's blessing, I have no doubt. But even if we have that, but if we do not have as an illustration, a 100-day fellowship, then even that prayer would be not that effective. Now, this may sound quite unusual to you. What? Prayer doesn't work? Even prevailing prayer doesn't work? No, prayer works. Prayer works. But without the corresponding elevating or intensifying or breakthrough in this culture of fellowship, in this practice of fellowship here in Northern California, we will be discounting that blessing. I predict this. We will have a measure of blessing, but that blessing will not be a torrent, will not be a flood as we have expected that to be. And this is how much importance I place on this subject. And this is why I'm not looking at them as mere lessons this morning. It's a burden I have in me that is very current, very present, that maybe we're at the door. We are at a kind of threshold situation. Whether we walk through this door, we successfully punch through this wall, will determine how much blessing the Lord will we will experience in this burden for renewal, for revival, and for restoration. I really mean that. And so I like the leading brothers especially. Now I'm not speaking to all of us. I'm speaking to those who are leading brothers now, elders, those who have been serving for some time in your locality, to especially take note of this. Please, I beg you, for the Lord's sake, to be open to this fellowship, and to be open to evaluate yourself. Study your own situation in your locality with respect to this matter? Where are you in this matter? Again, we're not saying that there's no fellowship or even no heart to fellowship. That's too much to say. We all have learned some lessons of fellowship, and we do fellowship. But I'm talking about the intensity. I'm talking about the scale. I'm talking about the breadth and the depth of this fellowship. I almost feel like it is another big part of the good land that we have yet to explore. We're not there yet. We just know this part of the good land. You know, the Palestine is long like this. You can occupy one part and really mine it and work on it and own it, because everywhere the sole of your feet will tread upon, that will I give it to you. That's as Jehovah promised. So I believe we own a certain part of this good land, no doubt about it. But we cannot say we own the whole land yet. And this land is vast, with the hills, the valleys, and the streams, and whatever, all these things. And that land, those parts of the land that await our exploration, they will not be successfully taken or possessed except by fellowship. Except by a higher level, a stronger level of fellowship. Otherwise, we may be stuck just to a certain portion. And maybe we can add a little bit, just a little bit, grow a little bit. But to take the whole land, in a case of a revival, well, fellowship. So I like to suggest that for us here, starting with those who are already currently leading brothers and elders, you please take note of this and look to the Lord for His grace to yourself be brought into this other level. And bring, we will get into this, the so-called deacons. The deacons are many who are sitting here. I don't use the word deacons because it conjures up a certain kind of image, or you have some kind of concept. Let's just use the word responsible ones, serving brothers, many of whom are sitting here, and many of whom are younger. That you would enter into this realm of fellowship, this blessed realm of fellowship, yourself as leading brothers, and that you would expand this fellowship to this next group of brothers. And then from there, you will expand it to the saints. It works this way, from center to circumference. Just as much we are earnest in practicing the prayer, the daily prayer, you know, the 100-day prayer as a help, you would find some way to increase the fellowship, the frequency, the thoroughness, the depth, and even the openness of this fellowship. Don't just be happy or satisfied with the last 40 years. The years that you have been in the recovery. Don't be satisfied with that. There's a whole new part of the good land that we're not there yet, brothers. And we won't get that except corporately. We won't take it except by way of fellowship. Fellowship is our only hope to take the entire good land in the Lord's recovery. I really mean that. I absolutely mean that. And I speak this to myself, not just you. I'm not there. I still am not 100% myself. My fellowship may still be selective, rather confined or restricted to a certain ones or certain direction, but not in this kind of a widespread way. Brothers, we are really at the cusp of something that we long to see for a long time. But there has to be certain principles adhered to or practiced as our cooperation to the Holy Spirit for Him to move in a much freer way. That work the Spirit cannot do. Now, prayer is one of our cooperation, method of cooperation, and it's a huge one. In fact, that is the first one, the primary one. But right at the heels of prayer is fellowship. Is fellowship. And no wonder Brother Lee said that if you know how God works or the principle of the divine work, that no grace is bestowed except by fellowship, exchange, traffic. Much, much mutual participation in something. Multilateral. Everyone involved. We're not there. We are quite bound, quite selective. It's not that universal is not enough. You come to a church, and the first thing is you sense it's cold. It's cold. It's a lot of people. There are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of even activities. But you sense it's cold. Now that coldness is what I'm talking about. The rise of the temperature of the church. You know, and when you know when things are hot, all kinds of things happen. You know, that's why you cook. You know, you cook means you heat things up. And when you heat something up, things start to flow and blend and mingle and all kinds of things will happen when a situation is heated up. It's hot. And you know it. And sorry to say, many churches today, they are routine. They are doing the right things. They procedurally correct. They've been around forever. They're faithfully managed. But it's cold. And I know because it's cold, there's no possibility for further, greater work of the Holy Spirit. So it will remain that. A good church, an orderly church maybe even, but not an exploding church. I am honestly to tell you, looking to the Lord for organic spiritual explosions from the dynamo within. But those dynamo, it's there, but it's locked up. It will be released by prayer, no doubt. But I tell you, the final release depends on our fellowship. Prayer would require us our soul life. It requires, you know, fasting, the principle is to deny, am I right? Fasting and fast and prayer. Fasting is to deny your sort of legitimate rights. So it means sacrifice. Fellowship requires your soul life, maybe even more. Now the acid test is whether you'll die to all these things in that hymn, 824. I'm sorry to say this. I must speak the truth. Many leading brothers have managed over the years to build up an existence that does not need that much fellowship. A MO, modus operandi, that does not depend on this level of fellowship. They can go on. And some even have managed to build up a kind of crust, a kind of wall around themselves. It's an impenetrable wall so that others cannot reach them. It's like an armor there inside, that metal armor. Neither are they open to others, both ways. And you wonder why things are, we have no breakthrough, we have no new prospects and new going on. Don't blame the devil, you know, the Satan or whatever. Don't blame him. We have been somehow been restricted or not learned or even maybe deceived into a present state of affairs, the way we operate personally, the way we the eldership operate, and so on. When actually it's holding back God's people. Brothers, this matter, I think this week you all need to take these two lessons and seriously deep dive into them and really, really bring it to the Lord, like in a desperate way. Even the older brothers. Desperate way. Lord, where am I in this? What am I short of in this? Lord, illuminate me. Otherwise, I will just presume I'm okay. Why you have been seeking for solutions to your locality? Do you realize that perhaps the answer is in this kind of fellowship? When the leading brothers are such, and that must be transmitted to the next group of brothers, the serving ones, the sisters, the brothers. I tell you, the young people, I tell you, eventually all the saints, when all the saints are in this state of constant fellowship, one with another, of course with the Lord, of course, but one with another on this street, on this golden street, the river flows. The street is not in the river. The river is in the street. You go read Revelation 22. Oh, we need a great salvation. We in the recovery needs a great salvation. If we are to contribute to a coming forth of a revival, brothers, fellowship is key. So I beg the brothers, all of us brothers, to just be open. Don't take the last years as standard, like this is the right way to go. The Lord has something in store for all the churches. Now, this fellowship takes time and takes energy. Time means sacrifice. Energy means sacrifice. If you would just do all your own thing and then, we got an hour, we got to meet the brothers, the weekly meeting, that already shows you are not desperate. To you, that is just a meeting. That is procedural, what I call. Fellowship means all the time, just like pray without ceasing. Fellowship without ceasing. And by now you all should realize when we say fellowship, we don't mean, you know, chatting and talking, you know, those kind of things. I'm talking about, you know, opening up about your own condition, about others' condition, about the saints. I would say in the principle of vital group brotherly, the first thing is to open and fellowship, to be blended together. And every eldership is a vital group. It must be a vital group. Vital. How come so many eldership is not vital? They're ceremonial. They're somewhat organizational. They're not vital. There's no life, spirit, the Lord. Because there's a blockage. There's a blockage there. The flow cannot break through from member to member. That means there's not the blending there. Not the blending there. Brothers, when is the first time you would open to your co-elders and say, brothers, I open to you. Where am I? Or I sense a lack, a need. Can you help me? My goodness, this requires you to really jump down from the throne, to lose your face, to be the leading one. And I don't mean to act this out or to perform and act humble. I really mean you see the view, the vision here, and you're so broken. You really want to flow, the spirit flow. There would be some awkwardness, there would be some difficulty. But brothers, we have nothing more to do on this earth. This is it. This is our career. This is it. Oh, I'm full of longing. I'm full of longing. Now, in this message, we come talk about fellowship with the deacons. I like to ask the same brothers, the leading brothers, since a year ago, we've been talking about the need to expand the fellowship of the leadership in the churches. That means to raise up and include many younger ones for the sake of the future. Am I right? I'm concerned a year later today, still not much has been done. Still the same. Those brothers may come to this Saturday meeting, but actually they're not in the fellowship. They're not included. They're not welcome. Now, younger brothers, please, if you have any kind of impure thoughts when I talk about this, you better kill that. I'm not trying to stir up a rebellion, a complaint in you about the brothers. You don't do that. That's wrong. But I must open my heart. I must open my heart. We must expand the sphere of fellowship. We must let the fellowship start with us, brothers, and then that fellowship must grow to include more brothers. And you will see, by including them, and you'll find out later on what I mean by include. It's not just bring them to a meeting. You know, there's a lot of meaning of including, which includes personal fellowship, perfecting, caring, a lot of things. In my learning in the church life, there's no way to what? To bring heat to a situation, but by fellowshipping with brothers and sisters one-on-one. When I get one hot, that one will bring two hot, and that two hot will bring five hot. That's how it works. And for me to bring this one hot, it's a lot of work. And that's what I mean by fellowship. And brothers, it's going to take time. So Brother Lee keep talking about elders saying, we have too much time in our hands. There's nothing to do in the church. Especially now we're breaking into districts and small groups. I'm out of a job. Now this certainly is a brother who don't know what we're talking about. Your understanding of the church work is just organizational. Making decisions. Making announcements. There's so much to do in heating up, perfecting, bringing about, fellowshipping with another one that is younger than you. Really use the example of his own little garden. He planted all those flowers and things. They all died. They didn't die. They didn't grow. There's no fruit born. Brother Lee say, I know why, because I didn't tend to those plants. And tending, gardening, to tend to those plants is what will make them flourish. That is what he means by fellowship. My, you need to spend so much time just on one person to fellowship with that one person to turn this person into a growing plant, a fruit-bearing plant. But I tell you, if you can do it with this one, my, this one will do it to others. We have built up a culture that is self-defeating in the church life. Self-restricting. And the worst form of that is called control. Control. The brothers just control everything in their hands. That means no fellowship. That's what it means. You know, this Kim guy in North Korea. Sorry, Korean brothers. Huh? This Kim guy has no fellowship. What he says is the verdict. He says, this person should be killed. Yeah, these could be killed. Recently, they had this 70-year anniversary with all the whole, you know, it's a big show, you know, with all the military software, hardware, people, all the way down to some girly singing groups, rock groups. He just let it all out on the world stage. Let me tell you, he decided everything. If you don't agree, it's called dictatorship. Super control. Now, I don't think any of us are there. But this is a scale. Where are you on this? I tell you, control is not something you're born with. It's something you can acquire. Just because that's the culture you're in. I tell you, the dynamo, the power, the life, the gift, the grace, that is buried in all the saints, you don't even realize. And you don't realize how much those are inhibited, kept from being brought forth by your default control. I mean, if I have time in a local church, I will be spending all my time to visit every saint, to stir them up, to perfect them, to correct them, to do all kinds of things until they rise up and they become hot to preach the gospel, to study the word, to migrate, all to serve. People don't just sit there and one day, oh, I like to serve. Mostly that doesn't happen. It's someone there working, speaking, promoting, and compelling through much time, a lot of prayer, and they something rises up. The whole church is a garden, brothers. What does your garden look like? Is it just maintenance? Or is it a lot of careful weeding and fertilizing and watering and trimming? Oh, I tell you, that garden just looks beautiful, beautiful. I have the same garden, same soil. I have the same water supply. I have bags of fertilizers. But I never go and do this kind of laborious, time-consuming fellowship work. So my garden looks like kind of brown. Not dead, thank the Lord, but perpetually brown and fruitless. That's my church. You come to my church, that's my church. A brown garden. Now, I know speaking these things is a little offensive, a little touchy, a little not nice, huh? So maybe after this training, you will say, please don't come back to the Northern California. We've got enough from you. Well, whatever, it's okay. But I speak the truth to you. We're 1 year into it, brothers. We've got to get to the heart of the matter. One thing to wish for revival and even pray for the revival. Brothers, here's where the rubber meets the road. The lesson of fellowship. In all directions. With God, we cover that, right? And amongst the elders, which is a hard thing to break through in many instances because a certain culture has been built up. Hard to alter culture. Hard to alter. I would like to suggest, brothers, the three of you, five of you, just get away for a few days. Nobody else, just the four. Go to a resort, go to a hotel, go somewhere. And just spend a few days together with one another just to pray and fellowship. Try that. Even in Irvine, we don't have that. We do that. We have, twice a year, we have special, we call them planning sessions, just longer time together. But because, so many brothers work and so on, you cannot do it in the weekday, But I'm talking about a weekend. You say, if we go, the church will fall apart. Let it fall apart. If the church fall apart because you're not there, I wonder what you built up. Let it go. The church, in fact, the saints may be secretly happy that you're not there. You've been too controlling, too stifling, too inhibiting. And I'm not joking. I am not joking when I say that. You think the church will really die? Then it's your church. It's not the Lord's church. You go away because you have more need than the saints. And your breakthrough will mean their breakthrough. Go. A few days. And those few days, just open to the Lord for sure. And open to one another. About things you have not opened for years as co-elders. Your personal life. I don't even know your spiritual need? I don't even know. Become a vital group. Practice that first. How about it? How about this is my assignment? How about that assignment? Not just to shake hands and the weather is good and how are you? Much deeper than that. Open. No holds bar. 100%. Don't talk about, even the church affairs first. Talk about personal affairs. Don't you have a need? Are you that self-reliant? You really can't do it alone? None of us can, really. Go away and pray. I know a certain country that two brothers, co-workers, like this for years and years. This is co-workers, this is not elders. And the whole country is stuck. In front of people, they take pictures together, they shake hands. Actually, inside. Eventually, they went to the mountain. Of course, not just the two of them, this group of key brothers. And they hashed it out, so to speak. I say that in a positive sense. They fellowship and they pray. Don't have fellowship without prayer. That's dangerous. And I don't know how many days, maybe a week, I don't know. That fellowship, according to what was told, resulted in much tears, one with another, and much repentance one to another, and much forgiveness of one another. From that day on, that whole country is different until now. When these two brothers that you know have some problems, today you see them, you know there is a building. There's a building. There's a blending. There's a letting go of their dignity, of their... You know what I mean. Their position, their face. They finally, the Lord God, a blended brothers. And because of that, those around them also got blended. And now the whole country is moving as one. Brothers, similarly, here. Now, this next section is on the fellowship with the deacons. I extend this to include the younger brothers. Brothers in your locality, include the younger brothers. Bring them in. They need to learn. They need to shut up at a certain time. They need, all of this. But what I mean is really include them. Your fellowship with them, give them the sense they are part of it. If you ask them to come sit there and then go home, I'm invited, but it means they're still outsiders. But when you pay them a visit, you take them out for tea, you express an interest in them, you begin to weed and fertilize and water and trim, and I tell you, that kind of fellowship, they will feel they're included. It's not just give them an assignment. Okay, go do this. You're included. No. But include them via fellowship. Your fellowship with them, your personal fellowship with them, is what will cause them to feel they are now really included. And in that inclusion, there's a lot of things to help them, to give them certain burdens, to give them some assignments. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. You are now nurturing. You are now cultivating these gifted plants. I don't know any other way to build up a church. You see, in this light, brothers, actually, many of us don't know how to build up a local church. You know how to do the routine things, but you don't know how to grow and build up a thriving local church that increases in life and in number. And because we're used to this, we're okay with it for a long time. We just status quo. But those days must end. I really hope to the Lord that in Northern California there would be a thorough change. We will be in a thriving situation. Amen? That's normal. That's not too much to expect. Oh Lord, 11:45, and I have 15 minutes. Actually, I have 5 minutes, and I haven't gotten into a bit of the outlines. I don't know what to do now. You know what? It's better to follow the Spirit than the script. We'll push the meeting of the elders to another time. I don't mean next time, but maybe I'll do a separate recording or something like that to make that up somehow. Because I feel this, if we don't get through with this, we're just going through lessons. It's just lesson, lesson, lesson. I'm not here for lessons. I'm here for breakthroughs, brother. All of us should be. Brother Don, this session should be end in 5 minutes, right? I mean, so we have okay, but go till 11, 12, and then a break. Oh, okay, all right, okay, all right. That helps. Are you okay with that, brothers?
Okay.
All right. So let's come to fellowship with deacons and. In the church, in addition to the elders, there are some serving ones who are the deacons. Now, just forget about the word deacons. I like one. They're the responsible ones. I like that one. International training of elders and responsible ones. I like that rather than deacons. They are responsible ones for the districts, business office serving ones, group meetings responsible ones, those responsible for visitation, cleaning, chair and hall arranging, ushering, clerical work. Of course, those are the Levitical side of things. So you have two groups of people, one on the spiritual side bearing burden for various subunits of a larger church, and then you have also those who are taking care of the some of the physical services. Either way, these are brothers, and in some cases even sisters, bearing particular responsibilities. Now, it's the leading brother's responsibility. This is a core responsibility to what? To fellowship with these ones. To bring these ones into a certain sphere of fellowship. And that fellowship should be regular and constant. With all these serving ones, the elders need to maintain continual fellowship. From experience, when that fellowship, the more frequent and the more thorough that fellowship is, the more the whole church is like this. It's like this. All right? When there's not that fellowship, it's like flowers that wilt. It's like this. It's there, but it's always in a kind of wilting stance, not in this kind of a way. And that comes through fellowship. And so this is a very real principle. The fellowship is from the head and through certain agents and dispense to the entire body. And so that's why I say we are that link, we are that joint. If we don't play our role well, that flow is stuck and cannot reach to the other members, including these responsible ones. They desperately need fellowship from the leading brothers to not just carry out projects, you know, to execute things. But besides the instructions, besides the assignments, all those things, there is just a certain mysterious life flow and grace flow that energizes them, that give them the confidence, that give them the burden to carry those things out. And brothers, really, talk about older ones being repurposed. I mean, after you got repurposed, you should be more busy man than before you were repurposed in this light. If you do this kind of work, rather than signing checks and making announcements. B, the elders should spend all their time for such fellowship and should not spend too much time to do what the deacons do. That's what happened. This is part of our problem. The elders took over without fellowship. They actually assumed the deacons were. Many elders become deacon elders. They should not. They should let the deacons, responsible brothers, do the work. This is the definition of a deacon, a serving one. An elder, the principle is overseer. They don't do the work of the deacons. Now, they may start that way. They may take the lead in training in that way. But they got to work themselves out of a job and let those responsible ones do that work. How much fellowship is needed here? The opposite is replacement, not perfecting more. Eventually, you are the only one who does everything. That is anti-bodybuilding. It should go the other way. More saints, more brothers serving. But that will not happen miraculously. That comes from a lot of work of fellowship. Fellowship. Okay. See, they need to visit and to fellowship with the serving ones. The elders have to fellowship with the serving ones individually, one by one. Do I do that? I do some of that. I do less locally now. I would get this brother, take me to because I go to the airport a lot now, sometimes LAX, not just John Wayne. I said, brother, you take me to the airport. And you pick me up at the airport. I just take that whole hour to fellowship. About their personal life, their marriage, their service. I point out their dispositional problems. I do that. I don't have that much time sitting at home to have them line up at the door, but I try to take as much within my schedule limit, as much as I can to do this kind, because this is what works. Just to make an announcement, brothers, please forget that kind of eldership. Just signing checks. This is the real work. Okay. All right. The fellowship needs to be thorough, and they need to do this again and again. One time doesn't do the work. Again and again and again. If they would do this, there will be many great results. I can testify to that. But if we all do that, my, there will be certainly a thriving revival situation among. D, in order for the church service to be full of life, with few problems, yes, you heard right, few problems, we can reduce problems by fellowship. We absolutely can. And when you have so many problems and problems upon problems, probably you need to do a little check. Is the fellowship lacking? And with much perfecting of people, life, reduction of problems, increase in life, reduction of problems, and what? more perfecting of people that takes them onward and upward, there is a need for the elders to have continual fellowship with the serving ones. It is a heavy job, a time-consuming work. If you would learn and would not serve as an elder in the natural way, but would serve as an elder under the Lord's leading, you will see that there are too many things to do. One, you have to fellowship with the responsible ones to see how they're doing. Personally, how you're doing. Your service, how you're doing. Your marriage, how you're doing, especially some younger ones. Your children. All is one package. For example, two elders who are particularly good at administration should coordinate together to fellowship with the responsible ones on administration. Now, in a small church, this may be a little hard to do, but the principle still is valid. Not all of us are gifted the same way. Not all of us have the same strong strengths. So I may be one who has that particular way or burden to help the saints enter into the ministry, to read the word. So I have to fellowship and build up the saints in that way. And you are more strong in the gospel, for example. This and that. Some are quite strong in administration. That there is such a thing. There's one of the gifts, right, of administration. And some are good in training others to prophesy, to share something. These are all important components of the church life. But yet we toss the... We're so general, we just... We think we're all inclusive, and we do a general, extremely general work among the saints, not one-on-one. And even with one-on-one, we don't touch different areas. Again and again, this area, that area. One or two elders particularly good in helping others to read the Bible should go out to fellowship with the responsible ones concerning Bible study until they're able to lead others in their district to have Bible study. You're helping these brothers to take some lead in their home groups or in their districts. Fellowship with them. Similarly, one or two elders who are good with lessons in fellowship and prayer or preaching the gospel might do the same. We may call a meeting just with this group of brothers there, but those meetings are still general. Don't trust in that. Trust in coordinating with another brother or one-on-one helping them. In that level of fellowship is what will really bring them up. Bring them up. I go all the way to their disposition, their character. I even touch them on how they speak in the meeting. I correct them. I said, brother, I was not there in that meeting, but I heard from others who told me about this. I spy, you know. Like Brother Lee said, he spy. He has a camera there. I said, brother, you over function in that meeting. Don't do that again. You better do this. And on the one hand, that's some instruction, some training. Actually, it's fellowship. They need and desire that fellowship. You don't know how the young brothers, we say they don't want to serve, they don't have a heart. You're wrong. I find many have the heart. They just need the fellowship. They're waiting for someone to seek them up to fellowship, to develop their gift. Rather, they just left there. Well, they're not open, they don't serve, they don't give up their time. Have you thought the other side? That we didn't seek them out? Possible. Everyone who have a heart for the Lord responds to care and fellowship. Me too. I want to be better. I want to improve. But no one cares for me. They just told me to do that or this without fellowship. This pays off. You will get a payoff big time by this kind of investment of your time. in the saints, in these serving ones. Okay, all right. F, not only should the elders fellowship with the serving ones, they have to find out what the result of the fellowship is. Don't just depend on one talk and done, one meeting, done. You have to check, brother, did you do this? You remember I told you that way? Did you adjust that way? See, all this kind of fine trimming, you know, like in a plant, is what will make them to bear fruit. If elders would pick up the burden to fellowship with them, they will find too many people to guide, to contact, to open up, to lead, to raise up, and to perfect. Lovely verbs, huh? Guide, contact, open up, lead, raise up, perfect. So much work to do. We have, what? 20, what is the number? Those who show up on every Lord's Day. 2,400. This is not those who come once a month. That's a lot of saints. That's a lot of saints. I mean, our job, you know what, is to turn all of these things, saints, loose in the way of what? Of fellowship. Warming them up, perfecting them, bringing them into their function. I tell you, that's revival. That's revival. When your whole church becomes active, actively engaged, that's a revival. But we don't do that. We sign checks. We give announcements. We choose wall colors. This is the desperate need. Constantly, daily. And some of us older, we have more time. We're retired. That's the point. Every day. To do this kind of a work. The elders have to fellowship with God, number one, with each other, number two, and with the other serving ones, number three. Only then will the church be managed in a proper way. Brother Terry over there, Terry Bartek, he just commented during the break that he felt these fellowship, you know, the last time on the coordination of the elders, and this time on the fellowship of the elders, we're really somewhat sort of touching the heart of the matter. Sorry, I'm Chinese, always thinking about Chinese. They means, you know, you scratch yourself, you never got to the itch, and it's not so satisfying. Yeah? And then you hit the spot, my goodness, it feels good, because you're scratching the itch, right? So it's something like this, I feel. I agree with him, by the way. But I like to stress the practice. Once you, let's say, some of these words penetrated, or you have it resonates within you, you know, that this is, you really begin to see something, that there's something here that is quite significant. Then I would say, based on that, you should practice it. You know, the vital group, when you started to practice, it's quite awkward. You know, what do you say? Ask each other. You can only ask each other's birthday so many times. How many grandkids you have, only so many times, you run out of things to talk about. And so some of the vital groups actually didn't go on, because they thought that's what you do, just opening up and know each other. Well, that's the beginning. And you have to start there. You have to start there. You know, Brother Lee did tell us that we should, the leading brothers should care for each other. Very much, that each other's children, each other's concerns. We're not business associates. We are serving God's family together, and we need to care for one another. That was actually one of Brother Lee's last fellowship. concerning elders to the brothers in Anaheim. And we, some of us remember that. And so you need to start there. But of course, as you fellowship, you begin to fellowship about more spiritual matters. We all have different viewpoints. We all have different thoughts and consideration. Fellowship about these things. It is through this kind of exchange that we build bridges. Am I right? Like between nations, between disciplines. It's just by much exchange you begin to understand each other. Bigotry is a result of ignorance. And ignorance is a result of lack of exchange or knowledge. You don't even know who those people are. You've never been there. You never lived with them. So you have a kind of a bias or prejudice about that person. Until you know them, a lot of those things will fall away. It's the same thing. How do we know God if you don't fellowship with Him? That's why we need to fellowship with the Lord to know Him. Same thing with one another. So I still say that you should find a way, all the churches or a cluster of churches, it depends, nothing legal. The main leading brothers would go away periodically. Then I would suggest also you would go away with the next group of brothers, you know, the so-called responsible brothers, brothers you are raising up into responsibility. Take them away. You know, weekends and longer times like this will have a big payoff. Big payoff. Don't just be stuck in doing the routine. Week after week, month after month, we do the same old thing, and the church in the same kind of grinding. That's not the way to build up a church. You have to start with the center, and that is the brothers, right? And then the responsible ones. Why we take some of the sisters away from time to time? You know, we in Irvine, twice a year. Oh, sorry, once a year, we dedicate, you know, a day for this. It's fellowship. And that fellowship makes them feel they are included. They are concerned. They're cared for. And so on. So, but on a regular basis, brothers, we just need to learn to be fellowship persons, and we will not live without fellowship. Okay, all right. Now, a brother brought to my attention this kind of a not a very good word that we use. He said it's called fellowship. Fellowship, is that right? Fellowship. Okay, instead of fellowship, it's fellowship. Well, this word has various meanings in different contexts. I think the most prominent one is that, you know, before you decide something, you didn't even fellowship with others and you make a decision, and then you tell people about that decision after the decision was made without fellowship. That's called fellowship. Am I right? And we don't like that. That's not good. So that's one kind of fellowship. There's another kind of fellowship, and that is it's unilateral. It's one-sided. When I talk about I perfect the younger brothers, you know, with them, don't think I'm talking the whole way to LAX. You know, he just driving. No. I tell you, the best way to initiate fellowship is to ask questions. I don't mean in a prying way, in a nosy way, but I do mean in a concerned way. You are concerned. By asking questions, you are basically opening yourself up. The way to invite others to be open to you is you be open to them. It works. You have to first open. you have to first show vulnerability, quote, quote. You see? So I would just say, brother, how are you doing? Or whatever, something. And that would stir up a lot of feelings or response in them. And it was through that, then there is this kind of a mutual fellowship. Yes, I do speak more because I have a burden. But it is far from being one way. So the older brothers don't fellowship in this way. This is really not fellowship. It's the wrong meaning. Don't just your speaking, just dumping things and points and instructions, and they just listen and amen, and fellowship is over. That's not the way. You must listen to them. You must elicit their feeling and response, right? And that actually is what will tell you where they are. Once you open up, then people know where you are. And that's why a lot of us, for the sake of self-protection, we never open up. It's a mechanism to protect ourselves. And so you go do too long of this, you just are stuck in your own unsafe and, you know, situation. But once you open up, there is the flow coming in. And that flow will do a lot of washing, a lot of cleansing, a lot of supplying, and a lot of healing. Wonderfully. Wonderfully. All right? In our heart, actually, we all long for this. But we are scared. We build up too many layers, and we're a bit afraid to be open in this way. Don't think what I'm talking about here is not brotherly. It's pure brotherly. Pure brotherly. Now, we do need to be exercised in not being too much. We all still have a privacy. We all still have a private line. And I'm not suggesting we cross that, right? Don't go and dig into other people's previous lives and tell me everything. No, 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 no. That means you have no discernment, right? You have no discernment. But even with that, respecting that realm of privacy, there's a whole lot of area that we can really open up one to another for help and mutual assistance. That will cause the flow to occur. When we are blended more in this way, this is not what I call operative blending. This is what I call what? Personal blending. But operative blending or operative coordination is based on personal blending. In the business world today, actually, all things are done through relationship. Am I right? It's not just I got all the pro forma, I got all the everything worked out, then you invest. No relationship with you. It's relational. Even in the business world, a lot of things are really, in the end, built on relationship. We are serving together and doing all kinds of things to take care of the Lord's church together. I don't even know you personally, and you don't know me. Where is the trust? Where is this kind of a mutual support? No, it's not there. It's just a very, very formal and organizational relationship. And so that church is formal and organizational. And hence it's cold. Cold. And not warm and intimate. And brotherly use the word, you have to be intimate one with another in a proper way. Am I right? So brothers, learn to be open. Learn to fellowship in this way, in the Lord. It's too crucial. Okay, we'll use the remaining time to finish up this outline too. Don't worry about the next lesson. Okay, now we talk about fellowship with the saints, of course. My, this is a big one. Fellowship with the saints. This is the elder's job, to fellowship with the saints. All right? And Brother Lee charged us to go down the list and just go down the phone list through the whole year and fellowship with. I don't think too many of us actually practice that. Some may, but it's almost like we don't believe that will work. But I tell you, that works. You get a knock on the door, a saint, get a knock on the door, got a phone call. On the other end of the line, dear brother, may I visit you? Well, it turns out that is an elder. Well, of course, two things come to my mind. Number one, oops. What did I do? But more often than not, it is an immediate feeling of, my, an elder would visit me, would call me, and have a little time with me. Right away, I already feel I belong. I'm a part. I'm not excluded. Right away, just because it's not just some saint, it's a leading brother. And then when the leading brother meet with me, it's not like she's, you got a problem, I'm here to deal with you. No. He's just visiting because he cares. How are you doing? How's your jaw? I tell you, just half an hour later, he leaves. You don't know how much this saint is gained. I have a lot of experiences in my contact with saints, not only in a locality, but many places. I only spent, 15 minutes with a saint listening, and maybe sometime offering a little advice, whatever, some fellowship. Years later, they will come back, brother, you don't remember that time. It just changed my life. I said, really? I totally forgot even who you were, you know? Do you see my point? Now, not that I'm somebody. I'm not God. I'm not. That's not my point. But my point is for a overseer to have that level of contact and care of the smallest saints. Brother Lee talked about strong saints, weak saints, backslidden saints, serving saints, all manner of saints. You're not even going there to change them, to twist their arms, to do something to them. You're there just to care, just to fellowship with even no agenda. That works. You don't know even this cold, backslidden saint just by repeated visits. They'll get warmed up. It's called cherishing. Am I right? Which will lead to nourishing. And that is shepherding, the real meaning of shepherding. No fellowship, no shepherding. Okay, let's go to fellowship with the saints. The elders should also do their best to contact and fellowship with all the brothers and sisters. They should fellowship with the solid ones, the backslidden ones, the weak ones, and the strong ones. They should fellowship with the ones who are not gifted. They should fellowship with the gifted ones. An elder has too many things to do. Too many things. And all these things are called people. Persons. It's time, saints, our church life, we should be people-centered and not affairs-centered. Person-centered and not things or matters-centered. That's the right church life. It's all about people, brothers. My church meeting hall can have the wrong paint, but people are careful, and my church thrives. You got the best paint. It's dead and cold. No one cares for any persons, starting with the elders. They care for their job, but not people. They care for their responsibility, but not the saints. It's possible. It's two different things. Two different things. B, you can leave the church to desolation and let it grow by itself. Leaving the church to desolation meaning just leave it. It's on its own. You're not trying to kill it. You just kind of abandon it. You just leave it there. Just by that, the church will decline. You let it grow by itself. But if you want to be another kind of elder, and brothers, I challenge all of us to be another kind of elder, even after 30 years, may God have mercy. You will see that every day there are burdens, and every day you be so busy. If the elders have a lot of free time, it will surely mean that the church in that place has no blessing. The more blessing there is, the more the church will be busy like a marketplace. And Brother Lee trained us this way. He say, we don't like problems, but more blessing, more problems. More busyness. If you make one brother alive, he will bring in three or five. More problems. If you make these ones alive, they may bring in 20. You know why some of the churches increase? Because they don't increase? Because the elders don't like problems. They don't like new ones. Because new ones, diaper and baby screaming and smelly. They'd rather have a good church with old folks, no one screaming, everyone quiet. Oh, praise the Lord for an orderly church life. Their church never grow. Never grow. And that's a shame. And they won't have no problem. They just look at our church, so wonderful. Not a single problem. That's not a wonderful church. It's just a problem, no problem church. By definition, every growing family is just noisy and sometimes chaotic. Am I right? Yeah. That's how it is. That's a thriving situation. You don't need to invite and create problems. The people are the problems. And if you don't like problems, you don't like people. You don't like people, you don't care for the Lord's burden for a man. So your church is just kind of there. Think about it this way. All right, see, try to work this way and see. If you serve the Lord by this way of fellowship, not only will one person be inadequate, even 10 persons will not be adequate to meet today's need. It depends how much you do and how thorough you do the work with people. When you get through with every brother and sister, eventually not only will they be raised up, but you will find out the feeling of the saints and will know where their needs are. The case of every brother and sister is thoroughly worked on by the elders. Saints don't grow by themselves or perfected by themselves. They need the brothers, the leading brothers' care. And it is, I mentioned earlier already, it is by fellowship that even I have a read of that saint's real situation and therefore the church's condition. Most of, if not all, of my understanding of the church life's need is not I was praying and the Lord, some finger on the wall, the church needs this. Almost never happened. Does that mean I have no feeling? I do have a lot of feeling. But usually those feeling is based on observation. And a lot of times intimate observation through fellowship. Brothers, don't think it's just the new ones and young ones, the saints that need fellowship. You need fellowship. You desperately need fellowship. You cannot even function properly without this kind of fellowship. Okay. All right. Brother Lee say, try to work this way and see. So practice. Brothers, go back and practice. Just practice. Okay. Two, if the elders do not fellowship with each other, nor with the serving ones, and if they lack the fellowship with their brothers and sisters, it will be useless to have an elders meeting once in a while. Without this fellowship, even the elders meeting, as important it occupies one lesson after this, even that meeting will be useless. You come together, what do you talk about? That's why a lot of our elders meeting become just half an hour, it's done. Because there's nothing to talk about except this week's announcement. Or how much we have still in the bank, you know. Not that those are not important things, but brothers, nothing to talk about. Every saint is a case to talk about. But we don't spend time there. We spend time on an hour on choosing the color, wallpaper color. That hour should be spent on a saint's case. And that your church will be different. We need quite a revolution. Sometimes even we come together to talk about a work. Now there's a place, you know, young people's work and children's work. But I tell you, even just to talk about work is still general. Eventually you have to talk about the persons in that work. Who is serving? The parents. The children. You know what I mean? Don't just be happy, oh, we got it arranged. These two brothers are arranged to cover that, and then the schedule is done, and then we have all this year's calendar all worked out. Okay, praise the Lord, children's work done. Next. That is just a kind of a plan. We need the plan, don't take me wrong. Are there some elders amongst the group that will expend themselves, not just be satisfied with the plan or have someone execute that plan? They actually get into the people who are doing that. And it is at that level of fellowship that really gets you to know what the real need is with the children. Not just some high-level planning. You really know the situation of the parents. You know, like in Irvine, right now, there's a little bit of a... Our young people's meeting is a little bit declined in number. It shouldn't. You know. The only way to find out is to get into the situation. Why? Why is the decline? You just don't go and give an announcement, hey, come to the meeting. No, 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 no. You need to study. You need to talk to the serving ones. Talk to the parents. That will you will get some light. And then you touch the matter and serve in that matter. Then you bring something forward, right? Okay. Where am I? See? Okay, we finished two already. All right. Okay, brothers. A lot to practice. And that's why, brothers, leading brothers, you need more brothers to come in and help. You alone... You're not able to cover all the bases. You're not able to reach all the saints by yourself. You need more to help. That's why we want to include more, some younger brothers in this fellowship, in this service. Three, fellowship with the churches. Now we come to the churches. We're talking about the Bay Area, let's say, or the Northern California. Although the churches in all the localities are administered locally, and although the authority of oversight and administration is vested in the hands of the local elders, in their normal condition, the elders should do their best to fellowship with all the other places. Now, this is something we have also been promoting a lot here in this last year. And that is, churches would not be isolated. Individually, as a brother, as an elder, you should not be isolated amongst the co-elders. But a church, neither should a church be isolated. A church must also be open to other churches for what? For fellowship. And churches can fall into a rut of no fellowship for years and years, and some even decades. And the result is isolation. It is going off on a one-liner tangent. It's imbalance. And sometimes even weird stuff grows in those situations. You know, when there's no running water, it's dead water, all kinds of bugs and, am I right, bacteria will grow in a dead sea, in a pool of dead water. So flowing, the fellowship flowing, will get rid of those things. All right. So, brothers, your job is to fellowship with other churches, nearby churches. The more the better. If the elders can do this, they will find that benefits fellowship brings, that the benefits fellowship brings are very great. Number one, your view will be expanded and your isolation will be balanced. Two, if you are better than others already, your fellowship will make you even better. I like this. Brother Lee didn't say your fellowship will make others better. It says will make you even better. I like that. I really do. Don't you want to be better? I do. Maybe I'm a little selfish here, but fellowship, it will exchange. You know, you go and fellowship, you found out, goodness, I'm reinventing the wheel. That church is already doing it. I just need to go get it and save me 3 years' time. You know what I mean? They learned the lessons already. I don't need to repeat that. Why not fellowship? Why you have to be original? Tell me. Originality is not a cause for celebration in the Lord's recovery. In fact, following the churches. Imitation, Paul says. Imitate the churches is the glory. So fellowship. Fellowship. Three, you will receive a boost from the other places and your time will not be wasted. Four, please remember, however, if you do not have this fellowship, you will surely suffer. Isolation is a suffering. Isolation actually means death. Don't be so private. Don't have a private church. Have a public one. Have a body church. Open your weakness to another church. Open it. You know, one time, what Brother Lee said? He said, you should get some other church's elders come and open all your financial books to them. I think some of us will never do this. It's like me trying to find out how much money you have in your bank and what stocks did you buy. I won't tell people that. Brother Lee said that. Open your church. Open everything. Open everything. He said, by opening, you'll get a lot of help. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Oh, this kind of too private. Okay, the Apostle Paul did expose himself considerably, particularly in 2 Corinthians. He opened up himself completely without reservation. Now listen, if he had closed himself up, how much would the churches throughout the ages have suffered for this reason, we have to do our best to open up ourselves. Which book did he say, my mouth is open to you? Huh? I think Second Corinthians. It's not Galatians, huh? Second Corinthians. He said, my mouth is open to you. What does that mean? That means the apostle is open to talk. To talk. You know, if the apostle is reticent and not forthcoming and listens and won't say a word and be mystery man, do you think this apostle will be functional? At the risk of being criticized, at the risk of being maligned and slandered and accused as controlling, as this and that, Paul opened his big mouth to shoot straight with them, to speak directly and honestly to them. It's a risk that he was taking of offending, you know, these believers. But he did that. And by his willingness to be forthright, to open, to fellowship, those epistles were written. And they become a salvation to who knows how many throughout the church age. Yes, to be quiet, to listen, is a virtue. It's actually wise and smart not to speak so quickly. But to never speak, I don't think it is that. You're not a wise man. You're a mystery man. Some brothers, they never speak. They just close themselves up. They never say a word. I don't know where they are. I don't know what is going on. And you cannot coordinate in this way. All right. So, do your best. For this reason, we have to do our best to open up ourselves. You have to see that at the same time, you need your brother's supply, and your brother needs your supply. Now, every time when we open up and have fellowship, genuine fellowship in the Lord, not in the soul, not in the flesh, every time we do that, there's a flow. There's a flow. An invisible flow. And I will tell you, in that flow, mysteriously, is the supply that heals, that with grace and all these things. It's just there. So you isolate yourself. You don't fellowship at your own risk. It's the risk you are taking. And you'll be missing a lot. I'm so thankful to the Lord here in Northern Cal, huh? At least to some degree, the churches are fellowshipping more, or entering into more communication, right, and fellowship. Just that much already, we know the flow has increased. It's just the flow has increased. And imagine if this fellowship would be further heightened, further deepened amongst us, the churches. How much more benefit a blessing that will come in to the whole area. The brothers have recently visiting some churches, right? In a little further places, right? Here and there. This is a marvelous thing. To bring the fellowship and to receive the fellowship. This is the way to go on. The church is the body of Christ, and all of us have to learn not to lose any blessing from any part of the body. We must be willing to live in the body and receive the supply from it. The elders in every locality should have this body consciousness. Body consciousness is expressed in the desire to have fellowship and the openness to fellowship. They must learn to fellowship with the churches in all the localities. The reason many local churches cannot go on today is that they lack the fellowship with the other churches. It is true. You know, you be faithful in your locality and labor. You can only go so far. And then you plateau. You can go further. It's just a principle at work here. Unless you have more fellowship with the churches, you cannot go to the sort of the next level. Okay. E, it is an extremely valuable thing for you to try your best to fellowship with the churches in the other localities. You know this training we have here, this one? This is the 10th month. 2 more months, it will be 1 year, and that's 36 lessons. And I'm almost finished with the next 36. And I don't mean we'll do the same thing here. I'm just telling you we're almost there. Well, then me with my big mouth, so I went visit other churches. I mentioned, you know, what we're doing here and the grace that we receive here. And just the brothers in those places just say, hey, when can we start? So 2 places will start. One is Mid-Atlantic churches from Philly to possibly North Carolina, northern part, or at least South Virginia, with those states, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, and so on. And they wanted to start. I said, when? Next year? They said, no, we cannot wait. We must start this year. We must start in November. So next month, they will start this training. They have about 120, 30 brothers. We already have a gathering, a 24-hour pre-training, if you will, during Labor Day. And that's when they decided. They just prevailed upon me. I said, we can wait a little. No, we cannot wait. In fact, they want to start right away. So November, we will start. And Don knows, because they are now actively accessing all the material, the way you have your grouping, the way you do things. And they're going to watch the video. You know, that's why we have this taped. I will go there and kick off the beginning and visit them from time to time, because I'm mainly committed to here. But that's what they will do. And they are anxious. And they are also bringing in new brothers. Same thing here, to have a renewal of their situation. Very, very promising area, as you know, that Mid-Atlantic. Very promising. And then the next place behind them is Washington, Seattle, Puget Sound. So I mentioned, the brothers say, when can we start? So they will start next February. Next February. This training, next February, with a similar kind of a burden. I'm very happy, not because we're spreading this training, but because of the fellowship.
Amen.
And I'm sure when they do things over in the Mid-Atlantic, they'll find something that you can learn from.
Amen.
Now they are learning from you. Amen. And they don't need to reinvent the wheel. I said, brothers, don't reinvent the wheel. They've done it already in the Bay Area. Just pick it up from here. They've done the heavy lifting. Just ride their coattails. Isn't that good?
Amen.
And then they can go even faster than you. What's wrong with that? But in the end, even you will become better.
Amen.
This brotherly said. And same thing with the Northwest. And this weekend, next weekend, I'm going to meet with all the leading brothers in Canada, in Montreal. And I'm going to open my big mouth again. And I know what they will say already. No, I'm not just going to promote this. No. There's a need. There's need in the body, in the churches. So I say thank you very much, right? Fellowship. Don't be isolated. It's the way of ignorance. It's old-fashioned. It's unworkable. This day and age, there's no border. There's no barrier with the internet. That's why the knowledge is just expanding exponentially. All right, okay. Finally, number four, fellowship with the workers. The elders should also do their best to have fellowship with the workers whom the Lord uses. Although the churches in the localities are independent before the Lord, they have to maintain continual fellowship with the workers. B, how the church in a place can profit from the workers with whom it has fellowship requires much learning. Don't have wild fellowship, right? Learn to fellowship in a proper way. The fellowship between the elders and the workers is a great lesson to learn. I would just say this. Some churches, they're just close to the co-workers. They said, we are self-subsisting, like they are God, you know. Self-subsisting and ever, self-existing and ever-existing. That means we don't need any help from you co-workers. And in fact, I suspect you want to fellowship with us because you want to control us. You co-workers want to control our church. Don't meddle in our local affairs. We're fine. When we need, we'll call you. What is this, brothers? This is altogether cutting yourself off, altogether missing the grace and the blessing. The fellowship, the co-workers are not going around to control, to be nosy and so on. No. The only burden is to complement, to help. There are many situations that a local church cannot resolve and needs fellowship in the body. That is the right way. It is biblical. It is the Bible. And the more you open this way, and I don't mean just to invite some brothers to give a conference, just in that way, that's one part. But I mean even to have fellowship about the Lord's move and the Lord's work and so on. All right? Okay, I think we did the right thing to just stay with this matter of fellowship. And we will do something with the meeting one. All right, I think it's very late. We just better have some prayer. And please not only study these things, but do them. Practice them so that the progress can be seen by all.